God's grace, his mercy, and his peace are ours this day. And what a blessed day it is. Would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the blessing of this ministry, for the opportunity to set a man apart, to lead this ministry, and to be a gift to the people of this congregation and to this community. Lord, you've got a gift hidden in your word for us today. And we pray, O Lord, that as we encounter that word now, that you would send us your Holy Spirit, that we might receive that gift that you've set apart for us in its fullness. Remove any obstacle that would get in our way and allow us to be blessed by you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Larry, what a blessing it is for me to be here, to be with you, to be with the people of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and the surrounding community, to give thanks to God for you and for the ministry of the gospel in this place. You know, today is really a great day for an ordination installation. It's Epiphany. Epiphany Sunday. That day that in the worship service that Cindy and I were at this morning, the pastor there called it the Gentiles' Christmas. And that's who we are. We are the Gentiles. And God has reached out to us and blessed us with a gift of the gospel. But there's a very significant and important lesson for us in the connection between the Epiphany story and the New Testament lesson for this afternoon from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's that I want to kind of build on as we talk. Bethlehem and Jerusalem are really close to each other, only about a little over five miles apart. And the Magi followed the star, and they thought that it was taking them to Jerusalem. It makes a lot of sense when you stop and think about it, because they are coming to worship the king. They bring royal gifts, and it makes sense that that king would locate himself in the prominent city of the day, the prominent city of Israel. So they go to Jerusalem, and guess what? He's not there. What is there in Jerusalem is something pretty profound, though. The temple is there. The temple is the place where God told his people, this is my address. It's where God hangs his shingle. This is where you can find me, here in the temple. So why isn't the king born in the temple? Probably for the very same reason why three pagans from the east show up to worship him. Because God is doing something new. God is doing something big. The very name that we give to this day is highly significant, because Epiphany means appearing, or to make something known, to make it manifest. And what God's up to in this story of the Magi coming from the east is he's fulfilling the promises that he made in the Old Testament to his people, saying that it's too small a thing for me just to save the nation of Israel. It's too small a thing. My arms are going to open wider, and I'm going to reach out to the world through you. Thank God he did that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here today. Because God's love is huge, and God's love is big. And it's big enough to reach out to people like you and like me and like the people of this community. I think it's really very possible that the wise men could have stopped in Jerusalem, don't you? We made this long trip. We followed the star here. We thought we were going to get to see the Christ child. We gave it our best shot, but, you know, it just wasn't to be. Paul could have done that too. While the Magi had no formal or informal claim on being a part of the plan of God, Paul, on the other hand, had a claim. He had been trained in the law. He had been a part of the family of Jewish people. He had a right to be a part of this story. But Paul stayed in Jerusalem, at least at first. He didn't go to Bethlehem. He stayed in Jerusalem because he believed that the temple worship, the sacrificial system that God had set up at Mount Sinai, all of those laws and regulations that were a part of his world were the most important thing. He stayed in Jerusalem, and he thought that these early believers, followers of Jesus, were leading people astray. That is, until he got knocked down on that Damascus road, and Jesus revealed himself to him. You see, God did the very same thing with the Magi then too. After their cause was thwarted in Jerusalem, Matthew tells us that the star reappeared. That's what God did, is he put the star back up in the sky, that star that they had followed from their homes for a long, long time. And it led them to the place where the child was. That is a most significant piece of scripture, and one that we kind of breeze over, because of course God's going to lead them to Jesus. But in leading the Magi to Jesus, he's bringing them to the gospel itself, to the life that Jesus comes into this world to bring. And when Jesus appears to Saul on that road to Damascus, his life is transformed in the same way. And things change for him. If you have your bulletin handy, take it out. And let's look at that New Testament reading that was just read for us. It's at the top of page 4. This second letter to the Corinthians is one where Paul is reaching out to these people, not for the first time, multiple times, that Paul has sought to influence and encourage the people in Corinth. These were people that were not religious folk. They were on the edge. And Paul had to deal with them on multiple occasions. What he does in this second letter is the basis for his appeal is the connection to Jesus. It's all about being connected to Jesus Christ. It's not about anything you bring to the table. It's not about what you do. It's not about how you respond. It's about the fact that God has reached into your life and brought you into the family. And I'm going to read it one more time because we need to hear these words and soak them in this afternoon. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Bethlehem and Jerusalem are very close to each other. If the Magi had stayed in Bethlehem, they would have missed the miracle. If the Magi had stayed in Jerusalem, thank you, Steve. He mouthed it to me. You got it wrong. If they had stayed in Jerusalem, they would have missed the miracle because they wouldn't have seen the Christ child. And that is a very significant thing for us to hear today, because it's very easy for us to, like Paul started, stay in Jerusalem. Stay in that place where we expect God to be. Stay in that place where we think he lives. and not recognizing that Jesus is in Bethlehem. What did God do for these wise men? He put the star back up into the sky, didn't he? Larry, as a man who is about to be ordained and who has been a part of the ministry of the word for some time now, you are a star. Not in the way that you think I mean. But you are like the Bethlehem star. People of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, you are a star. You are a sign that God can use to bring people to the manger and meet the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a very important thing for us to recognize this afternoon. It's easy for us to be caught up in the moment of what this might mean for us, but folks, you can't live in Jerusalem. You need to go to Bethlehem so that you can be with the Christ child. And once that happens, then God gives you the opportunity to be a light and a star for other people. Because frankly, that's why we're here. If it weren't for the need for us to be a Bethlehem star for others so that they might meet the Christ child, it would be better for us to just go right home, wouldn't it? I am so thankful to be with you today, but I got to tell you, my heart is many miles away. It's in Hong Kong because I have a brand new grandson there who was born on December 27th. But there's more to the story than that, because my daughter-in-law, whose family lives in Hong Kong, her dad is dying. As we are gathered in God's house here this afternoon, about 36 hours ago, they decided to take him off the machines. We've been frantically checking our phones just for an update and trying to discern what happens. Ginny's dad grew up in Hong Kong and China, in a place where the gospel isn't as freely available to people. He's a product of his culture. He and his wife, Ginny's mom, have not lived as a part of the family of God. Now their daughters have heard the gospel, all three, and they are followers in Christ. And it's been my prayer since we got this news that their influence and their reflection of the love of Jesus in his life would make the difference for him. I've been praying for that. I don't know what God's going to do. In fact, we never really do we? We have to leave it in his hands. And yet, I believe that the mercy of God and the grace of God is wide and reaches into the lives of many, many people. And it's a mercy and a grace that he gives us the opportunity to reflect to the people around us. I know that all of us in this room have people in our circle of relationships who are in that same spot. Maybe they're living in Jerusalem, kind of self-satisfied that they're a part of the church, but Jesus isn't necessarily a part of their lives. Maybe there are people that we know who aren't a part of the story at all, kind of like Ginny's dad. At least we think that way. And they need someone to be a Bethlehem star in their life so that they can meet Jesus in the manger. And don't forget that the cross casts a shadow over the manger. It's not just about a baby being born, it's about a sacrifice that's going to be made. Because Jesus comes into this world for the purpose of redeeming people like you and me from our sin and restoring and reconnecting us into that relationship with God that he wanted for us when he made the world and when we were in his heart and mind before the day that we were born. That's what Jesus comes into this world to do. That's what the ministry is all about. It's about teaching and admonishing and empowering so that you can be a Bethlehem star in the life of a person so that they can meet Jesus in the manger, in the shadow of the cross. Thank God it didn't end there, that there was an empty tomb. The pastor at the church that we worshiped this morning said, the most important words that the world has ever heard were delivered in a cemetery. Christ is risen. Those are the most important words that the world will ever hear. And they're the most important words that God gives us to speak to the people around us. Larry, you know what this job is like, don't you? You know what this calling is. You've been doing it. Today's our day of formally setting you apart for this ministry. You know that there are days that are challenging. You know that there are also days of holy ground when the Lord provides you with the opportunity to speak life into a situation that's very dark. It's an opportunity to see the hand of God at work in the lives of others and to be that Bethlehem star that we've been talking about this afternoon. But this is not just Larry's responsibility. For those of you that are a part of this congregation, you have a calling too. You are a part of God's priesthood. And because that's true, He calls you to be that light and that reflection to the people in your life too. The Apostle Peter wrote of it this way toward the end of his life, as sort of an elder statesman of the early church. He wrote, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have when people ask. But do it with gentleness and respect." That's being a Bethlehem star. It's loving people enough and showing them, reflecting to them, the love that God has given to you, the love that you hear about, that you read about in the Word, and that you experience in your relationships with one another, and reflecting that to people who are outside of the family of faith, at least presently. They will ask you, "Why are you doing this? Why do you love me in this way? Why are you treating me like this?" And when that door opens, be ready with the word. Point to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, the reason for the confidence that you can have in your relationship with God, the reason for the confidence that you can have about being a valuable, important, and significant person. It's not because of what you can do, just as Paul said. It's not because of the achievements that you've made. It's not because of the capabilities that are within you. It's all about the fact that you have had the Lord and Creator of the universe say, "You are worth dying for. And I'm sending my Son to do it." As you reflect that kind of love to the people in your life, they will come to the manger by the grace of God. His Holy Spirit will work in them the miracle of faith. The family of God will increase, and God will be worshiped and praised for all He is, for all He does among us. Larry, on those hard days, I want to remind you of something that Jesus said. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and the labor is light." It is, if you allow Him to do the heavy lifting and you just reflect Him to the people around you. I know that God has blessed you and will bless you as you continue to serve and reflect Him. And people of Emmanuel, that's my prayer for you too, that the light of the Bethlehem star will continue to reflect in your life and that the manger is going to have a crowd of people gathered around it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your plan, for the enormity of your mercy and grace. And Lord, we thank you that you've included us in that mercy and grace. Lord, right now I want to be bold and ask you to place your hand of blessing upon Jenny's dad, that all the people in this room, in this church together, might agree with me that he is valuable to you. And I pray, O Lord, that you would make yourself known and that life would be his. I pray that for all of us, O Lord, and I pray that for the people of this community, that the ministry of this congregation will reflect the love that you have for people in such a way that they've never experienced it that way before. Bless us, O Lord, with that desire and your heart of love. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.